Happy Half Hour. Brett Ehrlich here. It's Friday. Everybody's having a good time. And the time is going to be so good because Nick Marzock is joining us.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going so well.
I love that music, by the way. It's like an elevator got remixed, and it's like it starts off kind of like sitcom-y, and then it's like a backseat kind of song. That's nice.
That's super huge in terms of compliments coming from you because you are a composer. You're an amazingly talented person, and I guess I want to show people, like, it's easy to say that, and behind you in your home I see you have like all of the instruments.
Yeah, it's like a man cave of fun. This is where I like write demos and stuff when I'm home. We'll talk about that, but I'm home right now. I got the heck out of LA for a little bit.
So we're gonna talk about all of that. We're gonna get through how you're getting through the coronavirus epidemic and everything in this segment. Stay safe and stay sane. So we could tell people how talented you are. And someone told me how talented you were, and I was like, okay, I get it. He's talented. But then I saw a video that you did of you playing every instrument in Piano Man, which we actually have right now. And I do want to show people just to set the table for how wildly talented you are. So let's play it, Skip. So I have a lot of instruments, Nick. I have a banjo, a mandolin. I have a harmonica right here.
Nice.
But when I saw you break out the accordion, I was like, I'm out. So tell us a little bit about your musical background, what you do professionally, so people can get to know you.
I started music when I was 4. I just started kind of playing piano, and my parents walked in and I was playing things by ear that I heard. So they got some lessons over time. Then I took up drum lessons, then taught myself guitar. And then once you kind of have those three foundational instruments, everything else is more of a, I guess horns would be different, and woodwinds, just because you have to learn how to hold your embouchure, as it's called, to good already be heard. Hey.
Wife, he said embouchure.
Do I have to drink? Is that the word? Like, the word.
What are you drinking, by the way? Embouchure was the secret word. The crow's gonna fall down. What are you drinking today?
So I have a couple options depending on how this goes. If it's going well, I'm in Pittsburgh right now. I have Iron City. If you're a Yinzer, what we're calling Pittsburgh, because we call instead of y'all, we say Yinz. Say Yinz guys going down Stiller game. You'd call it Iron City. And then if that runs out, I have Penn Brewery, which is also in downtown Pittsburgh. And if I say something horrible, I have Jack Daniels just to drown it out.
So amazing. So Pittsburgh blood runs real thick at TYT. And I know you've been a TYT viewer for years. But it's real thick. Like Skip, for those who don't know, is Pittsburgh. Asher, Pittsburgh. Aaron Wysocki, who runs the entire publishing team, Pittsburgh. So there's a lot of Pittsburgh. So I'm sure all the people who are like doing all the technical stuff on this are just like, yeah, Yin's going downtown. I don't even know. And that's where you are right now.
Yep, that's where I am right now. So I didn't see my family in the better part of a year. It was like 8 months or something. So eventually I just had to get on a plane and come back. I didn't want to drive, I know, but I isolated for 2 weeks. Took a test that took 2 weeks to get the results back. So I was just at home with my parents the whole time waiting for that. But the quarantine came before the test results. So it was kind of a waste of a test.
Oh, absolutely. It's like by the time I get this, I'm gonna be, you know, statistically fine. But that's great. I saw that you like composed for American Dad. I saw that you've done that. Tell us a little bit about how you have gone from just someone who plays music to someone who's paid to
to make music.
Right? I still don't know sometimes, but for the most part, I'm still a singer songwriter at heart. I love being on stage, so that part of me will never die. But eventually, you know, I started hitting like 28, 29, I'm now 30. So the late nights in the bar playing out don't seem as fun sometimes as like, yeah, get up doing 9 to 5. And I mean, I'm not burnt out of it, but I did realize that the studio can be just as beneficial financially than trying to grind. And also, I like, if you're a musician, like you're used, if you're a songwriter especially, you're used to writing a concept that's in your head and then you lay it down. Whereas when you're writing a picture, that whole thing is reversed, where you already have what it's supposed to feel like, the timing of things. So it's kind of a different, it's like a different stretch of that muscle of songwriting in terms of writing to something.
The only idea, like the only visual I can muster of that process is Forgetting Sarah Marshall, yeah, where it's just like someone's like walking into a detective-y area and he's like, but what is that process? You said there is a difference. So right, I was in bands. I loved playing bars and all yeah. that stuff. But like the studio, you're around like this fantastic equipment and everything. What is that transition like? And what is the job itself like?
It is, yes. And I actually brought, I had to bring like 3 suitcases home because I have a whole studio here that I had to just pick up and move. But it is very, it's different in that you start having a lot more, like I started having much more freedom than I'm used to, because I'm in the pop kind of rock space whenever I'm doing my own music. And with that, you're a little bit, with today's, you know, nature of what music is like, you're a little bit in a box in terms of like, you know, don't suddenly change time signature, for instance, and then a key on top of that, and then go back to the original key time signature. Whereas writing for film, you're just kind of working within this fog of like whatever the scene looks like. So you might have like odd measures and odd keys that clash, like notes will sound different, but it takes a lot of work. And even producing it is such a different experience, because you're now thinking orchestrally instead of like drums kind of go here, like vocals should sit there. I'm not thinking that stuff. I'm thinking like, well, the flutes need to not be competing with the violas in this line, but they need, like, it's a stretch. Like it's really, I very much respect the legends who are so good at it, because I went in a little arrogant, like, yeah, I can do this. I could, you know, I write for, and it took a couple of years to really get down what that process is like. And I'm just now starting to pick up, you know, a good work doing that. So it's been a journey, and I'm not even close to knowing half of what some of those like John Williams or whatever do. So it's insane.
That's fantastic. I do want to say for the TYT members and everything, Nick still uses his musical acumen for good and positive change in the world. I know you did a music video recently that was like a spoken word thing. We have a clip of it actually, and we're gonna play it right now so people can find out. This is Dear Majority. Take a look.
Let me start with a warning. If your mind is made up, then you'll just find me annoying. I never do spoken word songs, but there's just too much before me. Too much hate in the hearts of a whole country in mourning. But history shows that really nothing has changed. We just have way more cameras to show us the pain. We just have way.
I saw that, and honestly, I'm not a big spoken word fan. So you have me coming in like, what are you doing, spoken word guy? But that's absolutely like that sentiment is absolutely true. So tell us a little bit about the history and why you came up with that, why you felt the need to make a video like that.
Everybody is in this boat, and I don't want to, you know, put too much weight on this. This is a fun happy hour, and we're drinking. And if I have more of these and tell the story, I'll be crying. But no, I've been very frustrated with obviously the president and everything that's going on. And coming from a Christian perspective, I'm born and raised as a Christian and proud of that. But in a loving way, in the way that I always think it should be. Like I don't think Christianity should ever be wielded. And whenever that square happened, I snapped. I was ranting to my mom, and she said, "Nick, just write it down." Right. So I started writing, and I had, I think like 15 to 20 verses that I had just like, there was just too much. So I started cutting things. I got a little too intense at some points, but I just ended up, I was gonna try to sing a song, but it was just way too many thoughts and words, and I needed to do rhyme sequences that couldn't be sung well by me. I'm not very great at articulation.
Well, it seems like you, like that very succinct moment was well articulated. We're gonna take a break. Everybody check out Dear Majority is the name of the music video. It's on YouTube. It's on Facebook is where it went, kind of had
more exposure than
an
YouTube.
Internet exposure arc. I don't even know what to call it. I'm so jaded by like viral and arc and people saw it. But we're gonna get into some amazing stuff. Don't go away. We got a lot more with Nick after this. Say we like to call the necessity the mother of invention. COVID-19 is super rough, and it has forced humanity to come up with certain innovations that have bailed it out of it for better or for worse, let's say. So this is a collection of things that have happened as a result of coronavirus that you would not have expected. But for better or for worse, they're awesome. So I want to show you this image. This is an image of an N95 mask. It's actually better than an N95 mask. This was invented by the people at MIT, researchers who were like, N95 masks are cool, but they're hard to come by. Essentially, the material needed to make them is the entire cost. So they invented this mask that instead of having an entire filter over your face just has these little replaceable nozzles. So they actually like diagrammed what it does. And essentially you insert new filters to prevent infection. You remove those filters after use, you sterilize them if you want to with the word autoclave. I don't know what that means. And then you reuse it. You boil it essentially. Nick, isn't it awesome?
That's pretty, it is. I'm not a big mask complainer. I'm always kind of, I get angry at the mask complainers out there, the Karen crowd, but that definitely is, it's pretty cool. Now the eyes, the goggles are not attached to it. Is that what I understand? They're
the
like separate?
Seem to be separate, but I want them desperately. I also am super weirded out by this like disembodied head thing. It has makeup on. I guess it's for wigs and not typically for masks. I have a mask here. I don't know where it went. I feel like I'm gonna, oh, here it is. TYT sells masks.
Look at that. What's it say?
If you can read this, you're not social distancing. This is a mask that I use at shoptyt.com. But I also have one from a TYT viewer named Karen from Japan who sent one that said Harajuku on it. And she sent it years and years ago. And I was like, oh, I'm definitely keeping this. and don't send us stuff typically. It's really, really, it takes forever to get to us and we're not at the studio. So it's probably in a stack. So don't do that. But I wear it every day. Do you have a mask? What's your go-to?
I have a couple. I have like I'm now, you know, I'm not so bad where it's like a part of my outfit, but I have, depending on where I'm going or what I'm doing, I have like the N95 for airport travel if I have to, you know, or like something that I know is gonna be crazy. And then I have just like a cloth one with a guitar on it for you know, just like if I have to run into a store or something.
Yeah.
So I have like situational mask uses. It's not like, you know.
It's a brave new world that we're in where we're basically saying like, oh, I had never planned for a life like this, but now I have plans for a life like this. So that's one thing. And I think it's super awesome. Way to go, people at MIT. If you can make it cheaper and reusable as opposed to the ones that you just take and throw away, way to go. Necessity, the MFR of invention. another thing, there is a British, he seems like a police officer. He's in a very police type car. But essentially, he came up with a way to communicate with people who can't speak and hear. And a person with a disability who might not be able to hear. And so with the mask over, you can't really read lips the way a person typically would. Mm-hmm. And so he found a way around that that is very helpful and insightful. So here's a look at how it goes.
Hello, I'd like to take a few seconds of your time to say that some of our patients and service users rely on lip reading to communicate, and wearing a mask makes lip reading almost impossible. I've found that using this app called Google Live Transcribe and other voice-to-text transcribe apps can be really, really beneficial in communicating with those patients.
First of all, that's amazing. It's just, he's like taking a, you know, voice-to-text function that we probably use when we're just like, you know, what are you doing later? And we're too lazy to type, and making it useful. But the other thing is, I just love listening to like reasonable people, you know, like there's so much garbage that like I'm on Twitter all day and everybody's like, just get off Twitter. It's not worth it. You're just but I can't help it. It's like this thing I have to do, but I hate it. But it's just like, hello, so sorry to bother you. Like I just love his whole, and he has a great idea, like A plus for that guy.
I hadn't thought about that way, but reasonable people, really, I know they exist, but they are in short supply. And he's a paramedic.
He's a paramedic, nice.
And that's great. So it's not only is he like super helpful, but he is reasonable in his helpfulness, and that's fantastic. And
yeah, happening to reason? Where's reasonable? Where's it going? We gotta save it.
They're filtered out in the algorithm. If you want to see the not reasonable people who are acting in a way that's actually like secretly brilliant, this is a thing that I saw. And again, we say this every week, like when Alex and I both see something on Reddit, it is gratifying. And it's like, well, we have to do it. This is the story of some TikTok teens who have done a lot recently for good. But in this situation, essentially, they have taken advantage of the fact that when you do wear a mask, you can't see someone's whole face, and you're not supposed to take the mask off to show the face. So they have been dressing up as older people, the greatest generation, hashtag boomers as well, to buy beer. Take a look.
Oh. What you working with? I mean, it's so good too.
It's like, if I had to say like Zoomers and what they do, it's just like, oh, I'm gonna come with a really good idea that takes advantage of like everything that's kind of been screwed up in the world around me to do something that I feel like is good. So there's other, it's like a trend. So there's others as well.
Oh my gosh, look at her.
Yeah. So here's my concern with this one is like, it's a very good babushka style. Like, but then when granny comes out with a flat of PBR or whatever, like it's like 36.
TikTok has been one of the like, I was such a millennial that's like on the older side where I didn't know what it was when it came out. I was just like, what another thing. It is, they're like almost a political party now after like Tulsa and now this. Like they are doing so many like ingenious things that are really like, they're just raising the bar on what you can do in this era. Like they can't vote, but they're doing this.
They can't. I absolutely agree. And I like that. If I was like a person working behind the counter and I saw that happen, and it was a time of coronavirus, and the person seemed 18, I would be like, no, you've earned it. There's no way that you would talk like that and then buy like 64 beers in a flat. Go ahead. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we are going to see how celebrities are enjoying their and handling their quarantine. Don't go away. Okay, everybody, welcome back. There's a lot that is terrible in any given week, but sometimes something surfaces that is the best thing ever of the week. Okay, so the best thing ever of the week, we have a couple things that are quite amazing, but the one thing that my wife was like, this is the best thing ever that I've seen, is Henry Cavill, AKA Superman, came out of nowhere. And you think of Superman as like a jock, but he's kind of a nerd behind the scenes, but really like he's a jock. But he took everyone by surprise when Superman uploaded this video on his Instagram of him just like putting together a computer, and the entire internet lost it. Take a look.
Did he add that music, or did you guys add that music?
I will say full disclosure, the original music was Barry White.
Okay.
You're my first, my last, my everything. But as you may know, as a longtime TYT viewer, we don't really have the licensing budget to offer whatever records. Hey, let's do my first, my last, my everything. So I will say, however, that I put suggestions sometimes if I remember, and Alex, I apologize for sometimes when I don't put the suggestions and you have to look for them. But I was like, let's do this. And I listened to that entire song, You're Beautiful, which is like a Muzak sound alike when you put in like funk, Philly sound, like 70s.
Beautiful. It's very, it's inspiring, especially like I can see why your wife would have really wanted you to share that video. That's a that like you can't be that good looking and build computers. The lyrics are amazing.
That's a whole subculture of just like Muzak soundalikes, and there are millions on the service we subscribe to called APM, which was is a friend of Madeline Smithberg who was on the show 2 weeks ago or last week. Obviously watching Superman do this kind of nerdy stuff is fantastic for like nerds like me who think they can eventually get it. But there was a point where I was like, oh my God, that guy's hot.
And he knew exactly what he was doing. He wore the like muscle shirt. Like he like had that angle where his triceps were just like perfectly gleaming in the light. He had the shadows. He knew what he was doing.
And he lives in like this amazing like English countryside cottage looking place. It's just every potential like conflicting concept when you're like, I have to learn how to be a man in 1992. When like I was like, well, all right, I'll take notes on how to be a man. He's just like turning it all on its head.
What are the curtains, man? Like I was looking at those the first time. I was like, wow, he's building a computer. Oh my God, what are the curtains? Sorry, it's great. They're great curtains, man. I apologize. You do you. If you look like that, you can own those curtains. And there's nothing wrong with it.
Did such an amazing job. But you have behind you all the like musical technology to kind of get you through all of this. And we already kind of talked about how you came home and your mom was like, let's take whatever's happening in your mind. But like, it's been months that we've been on, and you originally had to do like 2 weeks of quarantine. So how have you used like your musical instruments and everything to get through? How about yourself? How are you handling it?
Yeah, I have in my place in LA, I was in LA for the first 4 months or 5 months until this past like 3 weeks I've been here, but I was isolated in a one bedroom for 4 or 5 months and doing Zoom calls like everybody else, just like the Brady Bunch thing of like, hey, another week, all right, just drinking trivia. But Yeah, it really helped me to. I had a really tough beginning of the year with a relationship that went badly, and so I'm writing a record right now. So this has been a great. It's been an exercise in my own mental fitness, just from the perspective of I'm totally isolated. I'm in a one bedroom apartment in Los Angeles. Couldn't go anywhere for the first, couple months. Then you can kind of see people socially distanced. But those first like 3 months, I just had to really live through whatever is deep in there that I don't want to see again for a while. But just to get some cool lyrics down. But it's not going to be pop. It's going to be a little more on the rock side. It was tough, but technology wise, yeah, I had to pretty much, I was working out of a studio. We talked about our mutual friend, Greg Grunberg, who's.
He was on Pop Trigger a couple times, and you said he's the reason that you're out in LA.
Yeah, very long story, very short. We just connected on Twitter, and he started hooking me up with some of his friends like JJ Abrams. It helps to be friends with that kind of pool in Hollywood. But Greg is the guy. Greg is the greatest guy in the world. He's the guy who knows every. Like I could say anything. One time I do voiceover work and I was doing ADR for War Dogs. So I had to do Miles Teller and Jonah Hill's voice to cover up the swear words for TV.
What?
And yeah, and Bradley Cooper did his own ADR. So he walked in. So I was just like. I always try to go to Greg because he's like the Hollywood type. And I try to like beat him with a story. And I was like, dude, you know who I worked with today? Bradley Cooper. He's like, dude, I worked with him on Felicity for years. What do you like? That's not cool. Like very impressive. He like called him like, what's up, Coop? But yeah, Greg, Greg has this beautiful studio like in North Hollywood that I usually work out of. And but after the lockdown, I didn't want to be in a building with a bunch of people. And so I had to buy all the equipment to bring it. And I brought a bunch of stuff here. I have my piano that is my controller. Although as time goes on, most of the technology goes on to the computer. Like now it's all about sample libraries for whatever sounds I need for building cinema or orchestra or whatever to write it out. And like it's kind of less of the hardware and more software now that, as time goes on and music develops.
That's amazing. I will say about Grunberg, and I met him, he came on, I think he knew Bree Estrig from Pop Trigger, and he came on twice. And I reached out to him about Happy Half Hour, and he mentioned that studio, and he was like, you should come over. And then we were all like, we have to go into quarantine. But it's not, that's what I love about. And I was like, he's like, it's Grunny. And I was like, can I call you that? Is okay? And he's like, yeah, it's cool. But it's not just the JJ Abrams. He's the same around JJ Abrams.
Yeah.
It seems as he is around like, yeah, I'll do your show. Come on, hang out. Let's have a good time. And
he's such a. He's such a positive, happy guy too. Like every time he's like missed everything. She's like, amazing. It's great. It's like, everything's like awesome. He's one of my, him and Scott Grimes on American Dad have kind of become my like two really grounded like friends out there just to help me out. And Greg introduced me to Scott. Like he's just been such a great, I don't know, contact friend, kind of uncle weird thing. Like it's really cool.
So good. It has been fantastically cool to have you on the show. For people who are watching, not on like the Pluto Zumos, Rokus, if you're watching on Twitch or TYT.com members, you're going to get even more than this. So bye to the folks who are just watching on TV, but everyone else, stick around. We have a lot more with Nick. Don't go away. All right, everybody, welcome back. This is all bonus. This is all free. This is all fantastic. We're here with Nick. I want to share with everyone what we talk about during the breaks on every show. And I think anyone who's ever shot a show really wants to share what's happening on the breaks. We talked about amazing stuff. Maybe it'll come back up in the course of this discussion. But I do want to say that while the entire universe has become so crappy, it seems. We're like living in this alternate dimension that is like, well, I didn't think the world could get this bad, but it is. We have to remember the pure embodiment of innocence that is children. And there's some children that have been bouncing around on Reddit recently that shows just how innocent children are. This first one is a kid whose mom just wanted to showcase how happy and kind he is when he receives his dinner. So let's take a look at him.
Do you want strawberry milk?
Yeah. Thank you, Mama.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mama.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you, Mama.
Okay, outside.
Whoa. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. You got it? You got it? You got it? No, you don't got it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mama.
You're welcome. Go share with Auntie.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Mama.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mama.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Mama.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mama.
Thank you, Mama.
You're welcome. Put it down.
Thank you, Mama.
You're welcome. Go eat with Daddy. Bye.
I was adorable.
Compared to that kid, I feel like I was such an asshole. Like, I can't imagine being like, I feel like I was kind of, it's probably nice. I don't think I was a nightmare, but I can't imagine ever having been as sweet as that kid was.
I liked in the middle where he started getting a little head movements and they're like, thank you, Mama.
Right, like the Indian. Yeah, you know, I understand. But no, there it is.
Like that kid, you know what I love about that video? Like, obviously, it's cute and it's great, like, you know, clickable, shareable, viewable stuff in today's like viral world. But that kid is going to grow up to be like the nicest person in the world. And that's yep. He's just gonna make the world awesome by just being like, thank you so much for whatever you just did. That's such a beautiful quality in a person. And here it is.
I have grown to resent the term attitude of gratitude, but this has me coming back around, especially that one where he's like, no, this is heavy. I'm so grateful. It is heavy. I'm gonna put it right down. He's like, So fantastic. There's one other kid I want to share that's the other end of the spectrum. He's not a bad kid. He's not a bad kid. He's a really good kid. He's still an innocent, kind child. But this is from the subreddit, Watch People Die Inside. And I wonder if you've experienced this. This is called Kid Learns About Bankruptcy. It's from a lesser known board game called Monopoly. So let's watch.
$103.
You have $103? Okay, that'll do. That'll work. What's the matter?
I'm broke.
Well, that's how it goes.
Why is Monopoly popular?
There's no better life lesson in a board game than Monopoly. That was me like a year and a half living in LA. Just crying. I'm broke.
Oh my God, that's it. Like, what in the hell is the idea of Monopoly? This is like a long standing gripe I have. Like, you play Monopoly because it's a game that you already own. What sick bastard. Like, every game has a winner and a loser. But the concept of Monopoly is to bankrupt members of your family.
While you create a monopoly and just like put hotels on things to like screw people over who feel like visiting your property. You're right. That's Monopoly is always the game that sounds like it's gonna be a lot of fun until you're like 2.5 hours in and you're just like, can someone just for God's sakes, this
Monopoly
sucks.
Monopoly is exactly like math in your life. You're just like, you're like, all right, I guess. Math, I have to know it for some reason. And when am I ever going to use this? Not really ever. And then there comes a point when it is very important that you know all kinds of math. Monopoly, no one ever plays right, by the way. Monopoly, everyone's just like, wait, what? And one person in the family is like, oh God, I have to see how much I have to pay my bankruptcy bills and mortgage a property. No one knows. There's one person. And that's the secret of Monopoly. The secret of Monopoly is only one person really understands capitalism. They're like, this is the reason I made you play this.
I'm gonna teach you, kid. By the way, you have to go to jail, but you could buy yourself out if you have enough money. Like what?
Hashtag end cash bail.
There's no more like sadly accurate board game ever than Monopoly, where you could buy yourself out. You get bankrupted by real estate. It's just like,
what and like, in what world is renting a house cheaper than renting a hotel room? What? That's so stupid. Do you play board games? Do you do any of that stuff? Or is it just music?
Well, I like to. I like. I'm not even a gamer. I used to be like into video games, but I'm still on like an Xbox 360. So I can't even call myself a gamer because I'm like many consoles behind on that. I'm still playing with like sticks and hula hoop, just like, you know, pushing it down the road.
Twist.
I don't really play a whole lot of board games just because I live alone. I did with my last relationship. We would do that a lot.
And he's drunk. He's drunk, friends. He's drunk.
It's empty.
I had a very unfortunate mishap with a piece of ice. Continue.
I like the board, like Monopoly's, you know, it is what it is. Like I was never into like commitment games like Risk or, you know, obviously Monopoly, Risk, Dungeons and Dragons kind of stuff. Like I don't want to be here for hours. Like I'm too neurotic to do that. But I like fun. Like when I was growing up, we had this game called Mystery Mansion. Like I always liked whenever there was like electronic things that like walk you through the game and stuff. I was kind of like an idiot with games. I just want to do simple things and have something talk to me because it's fun. Like I was more simple. I didn't want to play Monopoly and, you know, sit there for hours. What about yourself? Did you don't like Monopoly?
I had Monopoly. I played it a bunch, and then I got to a point where I was just like, every game got to a point where we're like, we don't really want to play this. We're not invested. Now we have to do real math. But now with John Iderola, we have played many, many board games, some of which are like literally, let's see which version of Splendor I'm going to pull out from the frickin'. Hey, like
look,
we
at
have
that. A lot. I've never played Splendor. Is it like a long format game?
It is not. And that's what people need to know. Our code name for it is Gems, because you like get actually never been opened because this is the expansion. But the gems, you get gems, and you have to build gems. It's a card game. It's pretty quick.
That sounds fun.
Anyway,
do you have to be together to play it, or can you play it like over Skype or Zoom or something?
There are a lot of Steam-based game night. Maybe we'll have you on game night. See, he's been doing game nights, and we're trying to build them out. So maybe we'll have you on a game night pretty soon.
That'll be fun. I have Steam.
All right, we'll do it.
I bought Steam for Roller Coaster Tycoon. I had to get Steam for that.
Perfect. Well, I want to thank you for joining us, and on the extended version of Happy Half Hour. Where can people find more of you? Let's let everybody know.
The easiest way is on social media, because that's the world we live in now. No one could sign a record deal or anything without having a presence. So I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, all at Nick Marzok. Names right there on the bottom, somewhere over here. Yeah. And I'd be a bad weatherman, it turns out. YouTube. I'm also on YouTube, and you know, wherever music is heard, Spotify and all that stuff.
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us. Thank you guys for watching. We'll see you next time on the Happy Half Hour.
Thanks so much, Brett.